Welcome to Telenor's third quarter 2003 analyst conference call. Telenor CEO Fredrik Baksaas will give you a brief overview of the highlights on the third quarter 2003. This overview will last for approximately 5 minutes, and then we'll be ready to answer your questions. Also present are CFO Mr. Torstein Moland and Head of Mobile Mr. Arve Johansen, who will also take part in the Q&A session. I'll now hand over to Mr. Baksaas.
Thank you, Christian, and good afternoon to all of you. The Telenor third quarter report is very strong, and I'm proud of what Telenor presents today. We have a strong top-line growth of 10%. The margins are improved sharply, and the CapEx maintains at a low level. Altogether, this provides a very strong cash flow growth for the group. The EBITDA minus CapEx is improved by almost 6 billion Norwegian kroner compared to the first 9 months of last year. Let me comment some of the highlights in the third quarter. First of all, I'm pleased to see that we have reversed the negative subscriber trend in the domestic mobile. Our market share is down only with some small decimal points this quarter. The main pickup of subscribers has been by service providers in our own network. The EBITDA margin was 40.8%, which is strong considering all the marketing efforts to turn the negative trend from the last three quarters where we have lost subscribers. In the fourth quarter, we will continue to focus on activities to increase our subscriber base in the domestic market. Our cost-cutting program, Delta 4, is progressing better than originally expected. For 2003, we expect gross cost savings of approximately 2 billion Norwegian kroner, and for 2004, we raised our target to 4.5 billion in gross cost savings. Through the work with Delta 4, we have discovered potential new areas of cost-cutting, and that work will continue after 2004. Our aim is to establish Telenor as a cost-efficient operator in general and at all levels. Our fixed-line business once again delivers a strong set of numbers. Revenues in the domestic operations are up, and the EBITDA margin is sharply improved compared to last year. Our Swedish operation is already showing a positive EBIT figure, and we are about to merge our Russian operations into Golden Telecom, that is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. I'm also very pleased at the development within international mobile. Both the consolidated and associated operations are experiencing strong growth and improved margins in the third quarter. I will especially highlight Kyivstar in Ukraine, with revenue growth of as much as 39% and an EBITDA margin of impressive 61%. The healthy development we need in our broadcast division continues this quarter with a positive EBIT. Canal Digital gained both market share and added net 18,000 new subscribers through this quarter. The strong overall performance and the sharply increased cash flow this year will enable the board of Telenor to increase the dividend payout ratio and also consider to implement a share buyback program to be evaluated. Thank you for your attention. We are now ready to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
For questions, please press star key followed by a 1. First question, James Willett, Smith Spawn.
James? Full silence, this end of the line.
Seems that he must be in monitoring position.
Okay.
Next, Mr. Doctor UBS. Go on, please.
Yeah, hi there. Sumit Dhanda from UBS. Just a couple of questions, one on domestic mobile and two on Russia. In mobile, are you still targeting, I guess, a short or medium-term 60% market share target? And could you just give us a quick update on your thoughts on Russian mobile and VimpelCom, please? Thanks.
I guess market share in terms of the traditional way of counting customers in the Norwegian market, we are roughly at 57% right now. We were at 60, and we have said before that we would have liked to maintain 60. Right now we're focusing somewhat more on the quality of the customers and the market share revenue. But we have expressed the view that we would like to maintain, at least 57 to 58% plus in market share in the domestic market. On the Russian market, we are pleased that the merger between VimpelCom and VimpelCom R went through on the general meeting on the 24th of October, and we believe that it's going to be a positive development for the company because we can run them Russia as one operation completely. Other than that, it's hard to comment for the time being. There are, as you have seen in the newspapers, etc., some movement in the market since our partner Alpha has also bought a similar stake in the third largest operator, Megafon. But there is still a lot of things that needs to be cleared up in that transaction, I think, before we can see where that goes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Sinha, Dresdner Bank.
Good afternoon. Three questions. On the domestic mobile, I understand you've been locking in your customers now, you've been allowed to do that. What proportion of your base is now locked in? Second question, again on the domestic mobile. Has Tele2 entered the Norwegian mobile market, and if so, what impact are they making? And then lastly, you mentioned your balance sheet is obviously in a very strong position. Have you considered buying out any of the minorities, for example, at Kyivstar?
I don't think we would like to go public with the number of customers locked in. But as you probably know, we started that late. We have a target that over time we would have 30-35% of the customers at least on a lock-in contract. But we are not there yet, but we are increasing rapidly. Everything that we sell in the market nowadays includes a lock-in. If it's a substantial subsidy on the handset, it means also a lock-in. And if there is no lock-in, there's a very moderate subsidy in the market. So we stimulate very clearly locking in the customers for 12 months or more.
Okay. Is there any way you can give an idea of the subsidy that you would pay for locking in, just an average subsidy, compared to a contract where you haven't locked in?
I would say for no lock-in, it's probably down to like 300 kroners, and for a lock-in, probably 1300 kroners.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Aida.
Two more questions. Those two impacts. So far, there is no significant difference compared to what we had as a service provider, and they haven't really seen any very active use of the MVNO agreement in the Norwegian market yet. So they are continuing their market strategy, as we can see so far, on the same basis as they used to do also on the service provider contract. In Kyivstar, there is no plans
for any activities against the minorities. We believe in Ukrainian markets that it is helpful to have also local owners, and in that way making the company more national.
Next, Mr. Aydan Sidian.
Yes, hello. Just a question regarding the board's considerations to propose a repurchase program. Are you looking at the same deal as Norsk Hydro has? That is, you write down your share capital and the government write off their a proportional amount of shares.
The board's comments on this issue is that yes, it's to be looked for the same mechanism as Norsk Hydro has with the Norwegian state, and the reason for that is, of course, that it's not the board's intention to reduce the free float share, the free float part of the Telenor stock in the marketplace.
Okay, thanks.
Next, Mrs. Kim Henley, Broadway.
Hi, I'd like to ask for further clarification as to where some of the Delta IV cost cutting is coming for and coming from in the near future, please.
Yeah, the Delta IV program is now restated to reach the $4.5 billion for the accumulated period 2002, 3, and 4. The areas are the same as we have discussed before with the market, but we have to realize that some of the cost-cutting exercises that we've done sort of beat our targets for 2003 in general, so that we at this stage report the 1.6 billion gross savings as of third quarter, and we now target for 2 billion for the remainder of the year. The, however, there are activities that will be implemented which will have effect beyond this time horizon as 2004, and that relates in particular to the IT field of Telenor, how we use IT, how we integrate across the different products and across the different customer bases. And this has a longer lead time than sort of 2004 alone allows for.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Kalman, Deutsche Bank.
Hello, can you hear me right? Thank you, good afternoon. Just three quick questions, if I may. The first one is on domestic mobile capital expenditure. I see that, again, very little capex has been spent on UMTS. I suspect that some of it's probably been pushed out into 2004. So what level of CapEx or CapEx to sales are you targeting in 2004? Second question relates to the fixed line business. We've seen a quite significant increase in access line loss, should we say, both at the PSTN and ISDN lines. I mean, what's your view on that and how do you feel they're progressing over the medium term? And then the final question is on the broadcast division. I see that you've got a pickup in transmission EBITDA, especially if you compare. It's similar to what it was last year, but considering in the first half we've seen a decline compared to H102, I was wondering if that's actually sustainable going into Q4. And the second part, sorry, on distribution, are we to expect to be say an implied lower EBITDA margin for distribution also in Q4, and is that really related to is that related to increased marketing and subscriber acquisition costs, or are there other things that we should be aware of? Thank you very much.
On the domestic mobile capex, we have not really yet gone out with any new guidance for 2004. But we said before that we believe that we could sustain on the 7% level compared to sales. What we see today is that we can definitely sustain on that level. So I would say we expect it to be in the range 5 to 7 right now, but we are not really finished with that.
Thank you.
The second element in your question was right about the reduction in the number of lines related to ISDN and GSDN. In this field, we do not feel any sort of slide, I should say, on sort of lines being returned. On the other hand, there are some lines that are being returned to leisure houses and sort of second homes, where since mobile functionality has become that good, people might tend to use their mobiles for that purpose. And you also see that the young people probably spend a little bit more time before settling in their first home before they add a fixed line. So there's not sort of a sharp reduction in lines that we're looking at. On the other hand, we know there will be a challenge to maintain ISDN, GSDN connections on top of the ADSL line as this market develops. So we are very much aware of that kind of development. And we try, of course, to position ourselves rightfully as we see the market moves. In the third element of your question was around the EBITDA margin in the broadcast area. For the third quarter, we're very satisfied that we have been able to add as much as 18,000 new customers for the quarter, and that the churn factor for the time being is at its ever lowest. As for fourth quarter, we do anticipate that the customer acquisition in around distribution will be a bit more hectic. As you know, the sort of season for adding on new television programs in the Nordic countries is more or less the winter time, not the springtime. So there will be hopefully more activity in the fourth quarter on this score. As for the transmission part of the business, it's the cost savings that does the or constitutes the improvement in EBITDA margin as such. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Clifford, CSSB.
Hi, thanks very much. Two questions. One on the dividend distribution and share buybacks, and then another one on CapEx, which I'm not sure you may already have touched on. But first of all, on dividend distribution, I mean, your historic payout ratio was about 20% of adjusted earnings. In terms of increasing the payout ratio, I wonder what sort of figure we should be looking for. Sort of, is 40 to 50% payout ratio on the earnings realistic? And then secondly, on the buyback program, how substantial should we expect a buyback to be? I mean, something in the order of a 10% buyback would be about, 7 billion Nokia, something in the order of, 1 year free cash flow. I mean, you're certainly not constrained from a balance sheet perspective. Should we expect something approaching a 10% buyback? And then on CapEx, and again, apologies if you have already answered that, you've now spent 4 billion Nokia in the first 9 months of the year, something approaching that. How should we see CapEx outlook for 2004 at this stage?
Yeah, we have earlier communicated to the investment community that we are now in the process with the board, which finally will conclude in February with a decision on dividend for next year. And as a part of that dialogue, the board wanted to give a signal at this crossroad on what the direction was. It's correct, as you are saying, that historically we have had a adjusted dividend ratio of say 20-25%, which the board now clearly signals that they will intend to increase. I cannot give you any figures on where the conclusion might be. We are not ready with that, but I would not give you the impression that the increase would be as high as 40 to 50%. On the buyback of shares,
I cannot at this stage say anything about the size and the timing of this. We will inform the market after each time we might have in case bought back something. But I also think that talking about 10% is not realistic. We are talking about buying under the authorization given by the general meeting in May last year, which is limited to less than 5%. And you shouldn't expect us to use all that authorization. On the CapEx, we have made a statement on the CapEx for this year. We expect it to be low. However, the CapEx for the fourth quarter will, as it usually is, be higher than it has been for the first three quarters. On 2004, we have not yet been specific, but we have said what we have said. We have confirmed what we have said earlier about what we believe is the long-term capex to sales ratios in mature markets, where you heard Arvo said that we in mobile wanted to be maybe below the 7%. In the fixed line, we believe that the long-term sustainable level is 10-12%. And that's how specific we can be about 2004 at this stage.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Rogers, Goldman Sachs.
Thank you. Just two questions, relatively briefly. Firstly, on Danish mobile, we hear that the sort of competitive intensity in the Danish market is stepping up with the arrival of a couple of resellers. Just wondered what, if any, impact you're seeing at Sonofon due to that. And secondly, on Digi, I saw that the Malaysian stock market regulator decided that the free float component wasn't adequate despite your appeal. Just wondered what the plans are for that going forward. Thanks.
Yes, the competition in Denmark is quite fearful, and we have particularly seen the retailers being very active with low prices, but no fringes. I mean, no subsidies, no handsets, no basically only prepaid, some of them only working on the internet. And they have been successful to quite some extent. It means that we have probably lost a few prepaid customers over to them. On the other hand, we have, on top of improving the offer on the contract customers, and in that way maintain the relatively good development on revenue and EBITDA. We have also launched an internet product in Denmark called Sendhenter, meaning that you use yourself on the internet, which is only prepaid and only internet. So we are also setting up a competitive measure against that activity. And the changes in market share has not been dramatic at all. And the new cell center product is quite new, so we don't know how effective we are going to be in competing with the service providers, but we are hopeful. In Malaysia, this year, you're right, we had some hopes that the new regulation, which kind of allowed for on a permanent basis less free float than 25%, would be applicable to Digi. On the first instance, that was not approved, but that's the main target for the time being, that we will continue to test that regulation and see whether we can get the permanent approval for less than 25%. So there is no firm plan or other plan for increasing the free float as of today.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Delphos, Lehman Brothers.
Yeah, thanks very much. Three questions. First of all, could you just clarify a little bit what the structure of the buyback is going to be for those who don't know exactly what the Norsk Hydro structure actually was? Secondly, on domestic fixed, you say in your release that wholesale line rental is going to have an incremental negative effect from Q4, and we note that Tele2 has been talking about trying to get a bigger discount on wholesale line rental. Could you just give us an outline of how much you think that's going to cost you over the next 12 months? And finally, on data and mobile, the SMS per user numbers continue to mount in Norway. Can you give us some idea of where we are in terms of the percent of revenues in data and how bullish you are about that increasing in the future?
Yeah, I think your question has three elements, and Torstein Moland starts.
Yeah, on the share buyback, we are in discussions with the Ministry of establishing an agreement where the main point is that we will have the right to buy from the government shares, which means that the government stake in percentage terms will be the same after we have bought from the market. So that it will be a proportionate buyback from share, from the government and from the market. That's the main point. We have not finished that agreement yet, and of course we will not do anything until we have such an agreement. We believe that we will be able to obtain such an agreement, which will then be quite similar to what Norsk Hydro has obtained.
And just to follow up on that, I mean, you said that you can buy back less than 5% until the next AGM. Do you anticipate this being a regular feature of your capital structure policy from now on?
I wouldn't take it that far, but I will assume that you shouldn't be surprised if the board asks for another permit to sell shares at the next general meeting. But it's thank you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Then for your second part of your question, the wholesale loss that we might sort of suffer. The price minus model that the Ministry of Transportation has put forward here is based on the principle that price minus 18%. And that was done after a ruling whereby the regulator meant that the price minus should be a bigger percentage than the 18%. On the other hand, the 18% is, as we feel it, a fairly robust level of price minus factor on the line rental. To envisage that Seller 2 would ask for sort of better terms on that score, that's probably not that's probably very easy to understand. If by any chance all the lines presently associated with prefix traffic, then that would be an immediate loss of 100 million top line effect. We have the approach to this that of course we want to compete with the other players in the market around this issue, so we don't consider that this will happen in a landslide by seeing all the customers, including their line rental, in their customer relationship with other players. So of course we want to fight that back in the marketplace and work for establishing customer relationship also where we are presently on a model where other players are having the end user relationship. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. And then the data on mobile.
And then the last one, mobile, are they?
Yes. The COVID value added services or non-voice revenue is still dominated by SMS and content.
we don't see it so much reflected today in the revenue numbers as in the usage, because there have been substantial price reductions for SMS. And we have also bundled a lot of SMS now into some of the packages. For instance, the Digit package contains 100 SMSs. So we can see healthy growth when it comes to number of SMSs, but we don't see that reflected in the revenue as such. But we book today like 14.5% of the total revenue in Norway as non-voice. But if you take the mobile revenue part of that, because there are other service provider revenues, etc., it's closer to 20% of the revenue, or 18% to 20% of the revenue. So it's a healthy number. But new services is still not very significant in that. And we have not been aggressive when we have looked at forecasts for new services, even though we today can see that new terminals with better displays, colors, better cameras, is actually helping in increasing people's appetite on new service. So I hope that we, throughout the rest of this year and the beginning of next year, probably should see some more interest for the new service and maybe be able to give a better projection mid next year. But for the time being, we are conservative.
Great, thanks very much indeed.
Next, Mr. John Pierce, the guest man.
Good afternoon, all. I noticed your intention to propose the increasing dividends and returns to shareholders, and a lot of other people have asked about that. I'm not going to ask you exactly how many amounts you propose, but I'd like to explore more what that means for credit quality. Obviously, what I'd like to hear, being a credit analyst, is that Telenor would intend to protect its current single A ratings. I know you've said a lot about that in the past, which is encouraging, and perhaps also that you plan to protect the current credit metrics that you have in any return of money to shareholders. Thank you.
Yeah, the answer is that we will we plan to maintain our single A rating, and we believe that we have such a strong cash flow that we can increase dividends and buy back shares without in any way jeopardizing our credit rating.
Okay.
Next, Mr. Peter Kirk, CSI.
I'm sorry, we cannot hear.
1 second.
Okay.
I apologize, I had a problem with the line here. Peter Kernielsen from Sheward. Couple of questions. One related to the outlook for fourth quarter 2003, where you talk about the overall group margin, a slight increase versus fourth quarter 2002. Given the sharp increase we've seen year on year in the third quarter, and your expectations of another 400 million of cost savings coming through in the fourth quarter, can I just ask why those sort of relatively subdued expectations for the margin in the fourth quarter? Where particularly do you see lower margins? And if there's a structural change here, is that something you foresee continuing into 2004 as well, in terms of the margin sort of progressing year on year? And then a question partly related to previous questions relating to the fixed line operations. Are you prepared to give us an indication of how many of your customers are now moved to wholesale line went through, please? Thank you.
On your first question, we have a what's the main explanation for our guidance on the EBITDA margin for the fourth quarter is two. First, there is a seasonally reduction in the fourth quarter because of the Christmas and the Christmas campaigns. In addition to that, we are committed to fight in the domestic market to maintain or increase our market share, and we don't yet know how much that will cost, because so that we have given a statement that we will expect EBITDA margins to be lower in the fourth quarter compared to the third one, and we are talking about the margin on the adjusted figures. So to make sure that we had an adjusted figure of EBITDA margin last year in the fourth quarter of some 32%, and what we are saying is that we will exceed that figure, but not get as high as the 37. Did that?
Yes. Thank you.
As for your second part of your question, the number of customers sort of the wholesale terms. In rough terms, that you could say that Telenor is holding in rough terms sort of 70% of the market in traffic terms. We don't display sort of the detailed figure of how many customers that are on prepaid from other operators, but as an abbreviation here, it wouldn't be too far to sort of work on the same factor also when it comes to the number of lines in question.
May I ask a third question, please? Do you feel any closer to striking a deal with both sides regarding Sonofon in Denmark now than you've been in the past?
No, I think we feel we are basically on the same, ballpark. I mean, we are bouncing it a bit back and forth, but there hasn't been really the ground yet for a deal.
Okay, thank you very much.
If more questions, press star key 1.
Seems to be. Okay, next, Mr. Rock, Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering if you could give us an update on progress in ADSL in Norway, and whether the volume-based pricing that you've been introducing is actually working, and you know whether there's any ARPU figures in ADSL to back that up. My second question, just on usage increasing strongly in Q3 in domestic mobile, is this related to price cuts in Q2, and can we expect more price cuts if this really is sort of an elasticity effect that we're seeing? Thank you.
We have not given any details on the ADSL variable pricing effects other than what we showed to you during the Capital Markets Day. However, the variable pricing has the effect that the extreme users are paying their fair share of sort of network resources in play. So we have at least, in a way, established a metric here of pricing, which take care of that problem. When it comes to the penetration of ADSL line, it's a very popular product for the time being. People are moving to ADSL in high speed this autumn, and we also stimulate the market in that direction. So we anticipate quite high pickup in fourth quarter and through the winter on ADSL lines to be connected.
Yeah. On the usage in the Norwegian mobile market, I guess part of it has to do with what you suggest, lower prices, and that's probably mainly the business segment where we are able to move more companies over to a wireless office solution. Comes as a consequence of lower prices for that customers. But also it's an effect of that we have been successful in targeting better customers than before. So I would say that the mixture of our customer base is somewhat improved during the quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Nathan. Belfast, Lehman Brothers.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just thought I'd ask a follow-up question about capital structure and rating agencies. an amount of figures, assuming that you're selling plasma today and possibly some land, your leverage, even including contractual commitments, will only be about 1.4 times EBITDA by the end of 2003. Can you just let us know when you think the rating agencies are going to revise their view on your leverage and on your rating, and what impact that could have on your dividend decisions and your buyback decisions?
Well, they normally have a rating review in the early winter or the beginning of each year. I expect they will have that next year as well. I will not comment on what kind of judgment the rating agencies are going to make, but except that I feel quite confident that we will maintain our rating.
Okay, thanks very much, David. Just one last question. I mean, if you look across your international assets, which ones do you think you're going to be most keen to expand your stake in? Are there any areas at all where you think you will be spending additional capital over the next 12 months?
Oh, that was a very general question. First, some of them has already been mentioned here. The main features of our strategy is that we will work for sort of establishing a industrial long-term position where we are. And it's that strategy which we also will follow going forward.
Thanks very much.
No further questions.
Okay, then from Oslo, Norway, this afternoon, thank you for participating. Thank you all.